Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful Inner Healers radio talk show. As you know, Inner Healers is an integrative, health-oriented concept that considers all the answers that we look for reside inside. It is by reaching inside that we can live healthy, happy lives. Those who resonate with this concept have been writing back and contacting each other, with whom we are starting a loving and caring worldwide community of like-minded souls. A company under the same name was created in Peru to help sustain both the concept and the community. We believe in broadening minds and lessening frontiers, for it's not about where we are based, but about remembering we are all inner healers. My name is Luciana Stiglich. I'm a healer, a teacher, and the founder of Inner Healers in Peru, and I will be your host for today. This is a very special show because, as you know, today we will have Pepper Lewis as a guest in our show. She's a world-renowned author, teacher, and channel. She has been the primary voice for Mother Earth, Gaia, for over 15 years and has carried Gaia's unique wisdom and guidance to many corners of the globe. Her channeling is rich, clear, and profound. Pepper explains her passion as follows. For me, she says, channeling is a mutually enriched synthesis of prayer and meditation. In prayer, you offer gratitude and ask, and in meditation, you receive answers. In channeling, you can do both at the same time. It is the most fulfilling practice I know. Pepper will talk to us about how she became a channeler and what role did self-esteem play on it all. She will also channel Gaia for wisdom and self-esteem. Join both Pepper and Gaia for an enlightening experience. Hello, Pepper.
Hello, Luciana. How are you? I'm so happy to be with you today.
Hi. Hi there. Thanks for coming to share your wisdom with us. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing very well. You and I have been communicating by email for quite a while now, so it's nice to have this opportunity to share our wisdom together and to share it with others.
Yes, I'm very happy as well. So can you please tell us a little bit about who you are, you know, for the listeners, your work, who is Gaia, and how come you started on this path?
Well, I wonder sometimes about this path. I found it, and it found me as things happen in life. So I have always felt dearly attached to the earth and to everything about it. I would not describe myself as a very outdoorsy person, but I would call myself a natural philosopher of life. I have always found every aspect of life, every kingdom, to be precious, to be important, to be necessary. And even as a young child, I was always thinking. I would think about what I was feeling, and then I would wonder what the earth was feeling. I would wonder what about a certain animal, and I would wonder what the earth thought about that as well. And then, you know, as a young child, I also had very severe migraine headaches. And my mother would put me in a darkened room and cover all the windows, and I would lay very, very still, waiting and hoping for this giant headache to go away. And while that was taking place, these wonderful images of the earth that look much like it does today, but more enriched, almost as if it was a richer soil with more variety of species, without some of the struggles that we know the earth faces today. And so my connection with the earth began then. And I can only imagine that these were angelic beings that brought to me these beautiful visions. A lot of them seemed to be encased in what looked like raindrops or orbs shaped like raindrops. So it was very rich, and it certainly made it something wonderful to see until the headache passed away. And, you know, in fact, these experiences were so wonderful that I sometimes even tried to fake a headache, hoping that these experiences would come. But life isn't like that, you know. It knows when we're cheating, and so they didn't come during those moments. So that was my beginning, and it's grown since then. It's been a lifelong journey that has developed day by day and year by year to a more enriching and fulfilling contact with everything that is upon and within the earth, until I didn't even know that it was channeling until I discovered that that word as a teenager, and thought, oh, that must be what I've been doing all this time because my communication is so profound.
So can you describe for all the people that are listening, what is a channeler? How does that work? What is like being a channeler in your experience?
Well, you know, it feels a lot like what our intuition feels like, but much more rich than that. It feels very vivid. It feels like a thought, like our own thought, but one that comes to life. So it's a very, the imagery is more vivid, the words are more rich generally than our own vocabulary, because spirit has access to everything that we offer and a little bit more. Channeling is generally much more positive than we are, than we feel about life, because it sees things from a greater vision, from a deeper perspective, and it's able to offer that to us. And so it allows us to walk with a little bit more knowledge and vision. And if we allow it to, we can take that knowledge and vision and convert that into wisdom. So we draw to ourselves information, we invite knowledge, but when we combine that with channeling, it can quickly become wisdom. But it's up to us to do that.
Right. So you were saying that you started this as a child. Was it difficult for you in regards to other children while you were growing up?
Well, yes. I would say yes, because as some of your listeners might know, I was born in South America. I was born in Argentina, Buenos Aires, and then I came to the U.S. as a baby. I was 5 months old. So I grew up in that. I was a foreigner, a stranger in a strange land. And so a little bit I was ostracized, and I was learning both languages at the same time. And I had these unique abilities that I didn't know were abilities. I thought everyone saw things and heard things the way I did. So when I would speak about them, you know, people would look at me in that way that, well, it's probably, you know, just your imagination, or, you know, every child has invisible friends or something along those lines. So, you know, as a child, you learn when to be silent. You learn when to speak about things and when to be silent about them.
Very interesting. And what role would you say self-esteem played on your development, or your not only your channeling development, but your personal development as well?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I would say that my childhood was rather harsh is a word that I could use. You know, my parents are a little bit older and from another generation, and so they were very stern, and I would say that I was probably punished quite often, definitely more than would be necessary to nurture a child. And so that was the difficult part of it. But when I look back on it now, the gift of that is that I took all of that and went inside and started asking those important questions. Is this what life is really about? Is this what life is meant to be? And if it's not, somehow I was already speaking to someone or something, and I was asking, show me something better, show me something different. And so I did. I began to receive words and guidance and inspiration from within. So what I learned from that is that no matter what's taking place in the world outside of us, those external things that somehow seem to happen to us that we don't really think that we deserve, there are places that we can go within that will nurture us and that will allow us to have those things that will allow us to grow into something beautiful. And I really think of my life as a real beautiful experience.
So for the listeners, how would you say, maybe all people that are listening could try to listen to their inner voices as well? How would you tell them to do that?
Well, one of the things that I would say is that it's always there and that it's always been there. And what we need to do is just to begin to distinguish that voice from the others. You know, those, since we're talking about self-esteem today, which is a perfect topic, and the one voice that we tend to listen to most often is the one that tells us that we got it wrong, that we're late, that that we should have known better, that that this project or assignment or task should have been done by now or could have been done better. That voice is the loudest voice, and so we listen to that. And the voice of, whether you want to call it spirit or channeling or the inner self, it is the self that's speaking to us. And, you know, one of my teachers told me so many years ago, spirit doesn't shout. It doesn't have to. And so it's up to us to listen a little bit more quietly for that inner voice. It's often a small voice that speaks a lot of truth in a very short amount of words or time. And it always makes us pause and at least ponder that for a moment. And we all have that, but sometimes even when we listen to it, we go quickly past that onto those other physical things that need to be done. We're very conditioned that the reality are those things that we can see and touch, and those are the things that we need to do. And that doesn't allow us very much time to be what we truly are, which is a self or a being. And you know, Gaia loves to tell us that we are human beings, not human doings. And so whenever anything comes up, at least to pause and remember what we are, just to be for a moment, and that it's not going to slow the process down, and it's not going to add one more thing to do during the day, but it has a very nice way of aligning everything again.
And how do you tell people the difference between listening to your own higher self, your own voice, versus listening to somebody else's voice, like Gaia in this case?
That's a very good question. So primarily, as we said, the first voice that we listen to belongs to the personality. And the personality has an ability to decide quickly, very much with yes or no, very much with answers or ideas that judge. And the personality is compares as well. So the personality compares day to night. It compares us to our neighbor or to our friends or in some way to very strong polarities, success and failure, light and dark. The personality sees these things and quickly moves to one or the other. And then beyond that, we find the self. And the self doesn't need the personality. In fact, the self uses another part of our brain, another part of our mind. The self has the ability to unite the left and the right hemispheres, so that now we're automatically more balanced. We have the ability to evaluate. The self has a greater perspective. It doesn't see things completely as right or wrong. It sees things all as variables. So when we are working with the self, we automatically have more choice. Even if it seems to the personality that there's no choice, we have to do this or that, the self knows why we are doing this or that. So the self chooses something, and it gives that greater perspective. And then beyond that, we get to whether it could be Gaia or another one of our inner teachers or guides from another realm or a dimension. And we can recognize these because they're very, even more impartial. In some ways, they're more loving. They're more compassionate, but they're also a little bit more detached. So again, there's no right or wrong. There's nothing that we must do, but it gives to us a vision that gives us more support. So when I'm in that channel space, I feel supported from within and without. I feel a very firm foundation beneath me. So for instance, people sometimes right away begin to look for something that feels otherworldly or very heavenly. And instead, when they feel very grounded or very supported, they think they're doing it wrong, or they think they haven't gone anywhere when the opposite is happening. Because spirit allows us to feel very comfortable in our life, very comfortable in our body, very comfortable in how we are and how we are moving forward in life. And it's like having peripheral vision. And after you've listened to the gentle voices a little bit and begin to set aside the personality just a little bit, you can recognize the subtle differences between them.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about channeling, you mean that you're using your senses to listen to this voice, which is kind of sound inside you.
Yes. Yes, that's true. You know, in the classes that I teach, because I do teach people how to do what I do, how to channel, and believe me, they learn so quickly these days, so much faster than I think I did or I saw other people do years ago. It takes into consideration all of our senses. So again, we put such an emphasis on our five physical senses. If we can see something or smell it or touch it in some way, we think that's more real. And when you work with the channeled state, it moves you into the more subtle spaces, intuition and telepathy and other even more subtle dimensional senses that we have as well. We take these for granted. As children, we were not taught to develop these. If we had been shown to even to acknowledge that these were present as children, they would have developed very naturally on their own. But because they weren't, we think that only some people or special people have these abilities, and it takes a little bit longer to bring them forward. But we all have them, and so, yes, we use the subtle senses to touch spirit and to bring it closer into our life.
So as I was telling you previously, the self-esteem topic was picking on several topics due to the amount of people requesting us to share our lives about it. Why do you think this is an important topic nowadays?
Well, this is a time that's very, it's a very difficult time upon the earth right now. The world in some ways seems to be suffering. In some ways it's beautiful because we all have a feeling that we're on the brink of something new. We've been told that it's a time of a new age and the ending of another age. And, you know, the world economies are precarious now, and so our environments and the resources do not seem as plentiful as perhaps at other times on the earth. And so some of us feel a little bit tired from our lives and the journey that we've been on and the many goals and ideas that we've had that in some cases have not yielded the results that we would have liked. And so we're about halfway through the journey or past that, and we think or thought that it might have looked different by now. And so people are pausing and stopping, and quite honestly, I've seen some people just have that that feeling of just giving up. I'm tired. I'm done. I did the best I could, and this is how far I got, and that's as much as I can do. And it's particularly at this time that we really need to pause when we need to, but take that deep breath and feel the passion in our heart to renew ourselves in life and with ourselves and with the love and the promise and the hope that we have for this earth and for this world, and to continue our journey not only for ourselves but for the younger, for the next generations, for our companions, for the other kingdoms and elements of the earth. And because we are part of all of that. So it's a very important time on the planet now, and more than ever, where we can begin to trust ourselves, the guidance that we get from a deeper place, and take that next step forward. I think the results or the experience would be so worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say are the signs that people manifest whenever we are living with a low self-esteem?
I need you to repeat that for me.
Sure. What would you say are the signs we manifest when we are living with a low self-esteem?
Ah, yes. Well, you know, when low self-esteem shows up, it can show up practically in any area of our life. It shows up when we compare ourselves to others. The difficulty with self-esteem is that it's very based in the personality, and it's a very subjective evaluation. There's no true measure of self-esteem other than the one that we give ourselves. So we appraise ourselves and our own worth, and then our beliefs get in the way. And so if we believe that life should look a certain way or feel a certain way, or that we should have accomplished something by a certain time and we haven't, then if we place that subjective and mostly false measure, if we apply that to ourselves, then our self-esteem begins to suffer. So the interesting thing about self-esteem is that we use that word, self-esteem, and yet it has very little to do with the self because we rarely get that far. The personality begins to evaluate it for us. And the personality is very steeped in our ideas of success and failure. And as you know, we tend to look for the failures before we acknowledge the successes. They just show up. They're louder and they seem bigger in our lives. So self-esteem is a concept that we need to understand, and it's a qualitative concept rather than a quantitative. So in order to raise our self-esteem, we need to understand the self. We need to give that self true worth. We are worthwhile just because of who we are, because we're here, because we're breathing, because we have a heart that feels and knows and cares. That alone has a great deal of worth. We need to regard ourselves in a high way because, again, of who we are. The fact that we are human and individual and unique is great, great awareness. And then, of course, we need to love ourselves, which many of us don't. We find it much easier to love others than to love ourselves. We find it much easier to see the worth or the successes of others than in ourselves. And then we can always work on our integrity. Whenever we're living our truth and raising that bar so that we're living for something a little bit greater every day, that raises our self-esteem as well.
So would you say a practical route to constantly experience high self-esteem? How can we constantly think high of ourselves?
Well, one of the ways would be to recognize that it is a quality that we can improve upon, that our personality will tend to judge it and lower that, and so we need to go beyond what the personality says and thinks to that next place or that next self. We can always apply the thoughts and ideas that we have about others and remember that we are just a mirror of them. And it's something that we can do over time. It needs constancy. So we need to remind ourselves in a very stable way that we are always worthwhile, that life is always worthwhile, that there is always an answer or a solution to a problem, and that we can't become automatic in that nature about self-esteem or high esteem or low esteem, and realize that it's a vibration that changes like the weather changes as well. Some days it will be very high, and some days it will be very low, and that will pass as well. Our health and feels different on different days, the weather feels different, and our ability to correctly assess our esteem, that changes every day as well.
Do you have any suggestions for listeners on how to keep as much as possible themselves within the vibration of a high self-esteem?
You know, the earth always thinks of itself very highly. So one of the things that we can do is to find those things, those people, those ideas and concepts that are constant for us, that are always of high vibration. Maybe there's a color that always brings you to a good feeling, or a certain substance or a flower or a landscape or an environment that you can place yourself in that always restores you. And sometimes that's all that we need, is just to renew our idea of the self again. And so it's not a measurable, quantitative thing, but what we can do for the quality of our life has a way to restore us very quickly. Unfortunately, we have come to think as qualities of our life in some ways as consumers. What things can we add or purchase in our life that will give us a better quality of life, a higher standard? But when it comes to esteem, those things are actually things that we can just recognize from within. And so we bring them closer closer to the surface instead of deep down where they're buried. My examples have always come from the earth. I always see how the earth, no matter what, it always renews itself. No matter what, springtime always arrives. Even when I see other animals becoming extinct for one reason or another, I know and trust that there are other newer animals that are being born onto the earth. And so everything about nature knows how to restore itself, renew itself, and not just survive, but thrive in almost any environment. And so when we can recognize those qualities within ourselves, that allows us to raise how we feel as well. I have always found in my life certain people as well who are mentors, people who are living and are around me in my personal environment, and also historic figures that I very much respected for who they were or how they lived. And I've made it a point to read their biographies, and particularly the parts about them that were most frail, not the great successes that they had or the things that history remembers them for, but the parts in their life that became very difficult, the challenges in their life, and how they overcame those challenges and found themselves in a new and different place. And so I keep those references nearby. So that when I feel a little bit distressed about life or where I find myself in life, a little bit confused, a little bit lost, I have a touch stone, places that I return to in my mind, in my heart, and in my thoughts that will renew me. And so I would definitely suggest that for others as well.
So would you say that also prayer, meditation, and channeling have helped you in your experience to keep yourself on the higher vibration of self-esteem?
Yes, I would always say that, because that always instantly takes us to the inner realm. Many people say that they can't meditate. They don't meditate because they can't meditate. They can't still or quiet their mind. And I completely understand that, because I am someone who also has a very busy mind. My mind is always making shopping lists. My mind has ideas. My mind is creative. My mind has concerns. And so even when I sit to meditate, those don't go away. And so I tend to do a process called contemplation, which, for instance, I might sit and look at a tree outside my window, and then I'll look at the bark of the tree, and then from there I'll imagine what that looks like on the inside of the tree, how many rings might be there, how deep the roots of that tree might go, whether they go very deep or whether they spread out. I'll look at the branches of a tree and see how many or how far they extend, what the leaves look like, how many seasons the tree might be there. Everything about the tree begins to represent some aspect of life or some aspect of me. And so while my mind has something to do, my mind becomes part of the meditation, part of the creative process, and it's contemplating, and I'm not struggling with my mind to make it quiet or silent, which is so difficult to do. And I find that when I do a simple practice like that at any time, and believe me, you can contemplate a chair and how useful a chair is if you don't have a beautiful tree in front of you, your mind begins to be part of a positive process that's helping you to move along a certain way instead of just trying to tie up loose ends. So any kind of an inner practice is great for renewing that. And then from there, it's very, very easy to find that channel space from there. It's one little thought away from that contemplative space is the doorway, the threshold to channeling. And the mind doesn't really go away in that process, but it becomes joined, almost like when you join or braid two different threads. In this case, they're threads or filaments of light. And you feel as if something has been added to the moment. Something has joined you that is now also adding a bit of wisdom or a bit of truth. and you can just feel a subtle shift take place. Sometimes it comes along with words. We're very accustomed to thinking of channeling as words, and that we need to be able to speak, or sometimes speak in a different language, in a different frequency. But sometimes, and especially at the beginning, channeling is much more subtle than that. And yes, that can do a lot for us, especially today. I have always thought, as you know, I think the world of channeling, and I've had the benefit of it guiding me for so long in my life that it's changed me forever.
So when you say self-esteem is something measurable, how can we measure it in our life?
Well, I would actually steer away from measuring it, if at all possible, because measure is to compare something against something else, and our own human nature usually finds us lacking when we compare ourselves to anything. And so if we can avoid doing that, I think that would be better. But if we can observe it, if we can observe ourselves becoming resonant with life, then our self-esteem is raised. If we can observe ourselves being not just human beings, but caring, unique, compassionate human beings, our self-esteem is raised. The moment that we contemplate life as important and valuable, our self-esteem is raised. So that without needing to measure this against that, or how well we're doing today compared to yesterday or last year, we can simply receive the benefits of it. You know, when we stop and smell a beautiful or fragrant flower, we don't think about, we don't compare that fragrance so much to the last time that we had the experience of a fragrant flower. But when we think of ourselves, we're right away comparing how we're doing today and how we were doing yesterday.
So what would you say is, for you, the importance of living with a high self-esteem? What are the benefits?
I think it adds stability to our life is the very first thing that I would say. You know, many times in our life we're riding a roller coaster. We're high, we're low. We're up, we're down. It was a good day, it was a bad day. What we wanted to work out, it did, it didn't. And that roller coaster can be very difficult every day, and it can really sap our energy quite a bit. So when we can refer to ourselves, when we can hold ourselves in high regard and know that we are unique, we're whole, we're complete, we are absolute, we are in connection with all things. Everything that we are, something else and someone else also is. We are responsible for our life. We simply have an ability to communicate with all of life. Then self-esteem becomes something that's very natural, not something that we have to achieve and not something that we have to improve upon, but something that is so natural to us that every day it's a presence. It's the presence of self, and that presence is extremely worthwhile and can benefit every area of life.
So what are the inner or external signs that indicate that we are actually living with a healthy degree of self-esteem?
That's a very good question. So when we are living in a higher esteem or in a stable esteem, we tend to have a more positive outlook upon life. We know that even if today is not perfect or things did not go right today or in a business venture or in a relationship, we can say, well, that was an interesting experience. It definitely didn't go how I had planned or how I had hoped. But tomorrow or the next project, I think will go differently. So when we're in higher self-esteem, we have the knowledge that there is the next time, the next opportunity, that there's always something else that's coming for us, another chance to choose, another opportunity. And when we are in low self-esteem, we're wondering when the next challenge is coming or when something else is going to happen to us and how to be secure and safe before the next rock falls on our head or in our life. So the ability to remain stable, to have a firm foundation and not feel like something is going to get pulled away from us. And its ability to respond to life and at the same time know that life is just life. Life will bring to us challenges. It will bring to us problems for us to solve. So our self-esteem cannot be tied to the events in our life. That's why it's so important to really have the self in high regard and not tie it to the things that are taking place in life. Those really are just things.
That's very interesting, everything that you say. We now have some ceremonies. Maybe you would like to channel value for us?
I would like to do that for you. I'm glad. I know we talked about doing that, and it'll just take me a moment or so to do that. And so, and then when you're done with that experience, then you can let Gaia know that it's an appropriate time to return, and then I'll join you again.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Indeed, sweet one. As always, there is the greeting that acknowledges that the moment has begun. If you like, we will call it a moment that calls forth the channeled wisdom on a topic that you have selected. But know that that which is Gaia, which is the sentience of the earth and all things related to the earth, including humanity, sees all beings as already uplifted. Sees every human being as already held in the highest regard. Now, say how it is that I may be of service to you, and we will continue from there.
Thank you, Gaia. It's a real pleasure, a big honor to have you in our show today. Our topic for this month is self-esteem, so I was wondering if you would like to share your wisdom for all the listeners about what you feel has to do with self-esteem for us humans.
Indeed, sweet. First, I will say to you that you are more than humans, and the term does not entirely apply. You see, when you say humans, it is almost as if you are saying only humans, and that is the difficult side of it. You say we are human beings, I say that you are divine beings or exalted beings or wise beings, but you would not speak this way about yourself, which automatically says that the esteem can be raised by a quantitative amount. Humanity, then, is a species, but it is not a species of the earth. It is a species of life. And what you cannot see, then, is what makes a human divine. What makes a human being? When you say human, again, it is as if you are saying, oh, we are only human, as if to say, well, what can you expect? We are only human. Or, we are doing the best we can. We are still learning. And so humanity first acknowledges what it is not, before it begins to acknowledge what it is. And so that is the first that we could say regarding the question of esteem. Humanity, to be human, is to be whole, not to be part, not to be something in search of itself, but to be whole. And again, the greater part of humanity is whole, the personality forgets this. So the personality is in search of what it is and who it is. So it is difficult for it to regard itself in very high esteem when it feels as if it is going about its life somehow blinded, as if it has a handicap that it has not remembered. Humanity does not remember its true origin. It does not remember its true heritage. It does not truly know who its parents are, you see? So these are the reasons why esteem is challenged upon the earth. Humanity is in now search of the next truth, and it requires the new and the original truth. And this is that it is divine in origin, that it has always been whole, and that its journey upon the earth is a temporary one. It is one of adventure. It is one of exploration. It is one of discovery. It is a creative foray into another realm. And when humanity can hold it in this regard, then life will become less automatic, less mechanical, and truly more of an esteemed adventure, where one sees every other being as a colleague of light, as a companion along the way. So, from Gaia's perspective, to increase self-esteem requires the human to see itself as more than just human.
That is beautiful, Gaia. You know, self-esteem is a topic that was picked among several topics due to the amount of people requesting us to share our lives about it. Why do you think this is an important topic nowadays?
The importance of this subject at this time is that humanity is literally mutating into another being now. And so while you may call yourselves human, there is another kind of human that is being born within. Of course, this is taking place while you are living and breathing in this body, and so some of that is transparent to you, and yet at the cellular level, at the molecular and particle level, the being, the self, knows that this is taking place, that it is experiencing a rebirth at this time. And so understanding that, it is very important to birth oneself with high regard, with high integrity for self, with an expression that will take one much further than one has traveled. So I will tell you, for instance, that in this year that is now unfolding, in the 2011 year, one human being, any one life that we may choose as an example, has the ability to travel much further in this one year than one has traveled up until all the rest of their life until now. And so regardless of chronological age, in this one year that is just now unfolding, in the 2011 year, one can accomplish, discover, bring forward, recognize 100-fold more than any and everything that has happened in the life thus far. Well, with these words, it is easy to imagine why you would choose this topic, because the more that you know about the self, the more that you can regard this year as one that will bring to you gifts and choices and realities from which to choose. In order to recognize these, it is most important to hold oneself as deserving of these. You see, the more that you believe that you deserve of life, the more that life will bring to you. Now, this is not the same as holding expectations about life. It is truly to say that the being within you deserves to discover all of life, all that life has to offer, you see? Which is different than to say, I deserve or expect this or that, or I have worked very hard, I have earned it, it is about time for it to show up in my life. It is not that. It is a true vision. It is a calling forward of those things that are natural to be in receiving. If one acknowledges that one is normally, naturally a giving being, then one is also then easily and naturally able to receive. So this can then be a year of receiving vision and quality and discovery of the new.
So what would be your suggestion for the listeners on how can everybody keep their self within an alignment with a high self-esteem vibration?
Ah, indeed. The higher suggestion that I would give to you, you would say is nearly impossible, and yet I will tell you is the easiest of all. I will say to you, discard nearly all those things that no longer fit. You see? Those ideas, those beliefs that have become like concrete, the ideas about life that have become no more than by rote or mechanical things, where this can be discarded in favor of a new view or a new idea, to perform a task as if it were being done for the first time rather than the thousandth time, brings a new awareness, invites new possibilities. It is literally to allow oneself the idea, just the idea, that life can begin again, or that it can renew itself at any time, at any opportunity. So where this can become a possible idea rather than an impossibility, then change comes so much more quickly. Now, how do you discard ideas? Well, it is very difficult to do that, particularly for the human mind that likes to accumulate as many ideas and beliefs, as much information as possible. And so one of the best ways to do so is, rather than to discard, which leaves an emptiness that humanity finds difficult, it is to replace. Replace an old idea with a new idea. This way, very gently, the self and the personality and all the aspects say, oh yes, that is better. And the mind, because it is accustomed to polarity, will choose the better thought or the better idea, and then it will be much easier to discard the older one. Again, it is the idea of conceiving the concept of a new beginning, and that the concept of a new beginning very possibly thinks of how to replace an older thought with a newer one. And then the older begins to fall away much more gently. This suggestion I give to you because there is much less struggle involved, you see? With much less struggle, then the mind is in cooperation and the self is able to restore, to self-restore, rather than to simply fix a problem.
So what would you say is the direct relation between self esteem or higher self esteem and our ability to manifest what we need for ourselves in our daily life?
The ability to manifest a higher truth is a rather simple one as well. Again, the word manifest has run into some confusion where humanity is concerned, because it uses this word all too frequently to mean what it can bring into being that is solid, that it can touch and hold. In other words, if someone cannot manifest enough money to purchase something, they do not tend to believe in manifestation or their own abilities to bring forth. So the true manifest word simply means to bring forth or to make room for. It means to invite, it means to allow, it means to access. So manifestation is access to a new idea, access to a new realm. And yes, with that newness, there are the filaments, the fibers, where out of creation itself, it becomes a possibility. The other aspect that brings things into being, things simply follow thoughts. Thoughts come first, things come after. It is easier to manifest a thing or a vision than it is to manifest money, because money has no value. Money has only the value that is temporarily assigned. Every currency has a different face. It has a different value. It rises and falls. It's sometimes desirable and sometimes not. But a vision, a truth, an idea, that has a creative force behind it. And so the being, the human being, can then work with this, manifest this, and bring it forward.
So now that you talk about money, what would you say is the relation between having debt, you know, with the bank, or mortgages, or getting a house, with self-esteem?
These are very human aspects that humanity has been allowed. You see, in some degree, humanity believes that it is indebted. In some ways, it believes that it is a servant to someone. It believes that it is a servant to God or a servant to the earth, or in some ways enslaved or chained to its job. And so this belief then also creates debt. If one is indebted to someone else, then one creates a relationship with debt, and it will manifest in other areas of life. So this is a very human concept that has existed upon the earth for a very, very long time. So until humanity again sees its own origin, frees itself from its past ideas, it will continue to owe someone or something, or continue to be indebted. Now, of course, our topic for today is not the world economy, but as you see, because humanity is very indebted to itself, the world is also in debt. Every country is now a debtor country. Every country's economy is related to the other. And in some way, if one is not raised, the other will fall. And so there is to be a rise and fall of many economies now, and this will certainly affect the esteem of many as well. So you see, it is not a good idea to measure oneself or one's self-worth by how much one has accumulated, whether one has accumulated money, or one has accumulated friends, or one has accumulated debt. These are very human ideas. They are not divine ideas. Divine ideas, by the way, are those that exist because they exist on their own, not because a human has made them so. In other words, divine ideas do not necessitate an earth event or an earth human in order to inspire them or carry them forward. They exist because they exist, and they would be present whether or not acted upon or thought upon. There is your definition that may be of use to you.
So why would you say people usually need things, like material things, to identify themselves with them so that they can feel worthy?
You must ask your question again, dear.
Sure. Why would you say that people nowadays need to identify their worth with what they own, which is something you were saying?
Indeed. And they have not been shown another way. They have not been shown what true creativity is, or how each one can create based upon their own nature. Instead, they have been taught to owe or to purchase or to seek from another. You are taught to seek wisdom from another. You see, even this moment is one in which you are seeking wisdom from Gaia. And although I am more than gracious to accommodate, you will see that I reflect back to you a higher truth, which is your own truth, which is your own discovery of self, you see? And so humanity, in order to raise itself now, must find itself of vital importance as part of a whole in relation to all things. And then it will begin to relate to its life, its inner and its outer environment, uniquely and differently, and you would see that borders and boundaries begin to shift and to change. This is the direction that humanity is moving toward, and some quicker than others. This is one of the older ideas that permeates the land and permeates the psyche. So even as you are born into this world, it already seems as if there is a debt to be paid or a goal to be accomplished. What will you do with your life? What will you study? What will you learn? It is not enough to be a student of life. One must be a student of a certain trade. all, one must have certain talents that one must exhibit that are found worthy in life. Again, from the very beginning, it is success or failure, a measure and human trait, a human characteristic.
You were talking about being here and all your life.
Again, sweet one, you must ask your question again.
Sure. You were talking about the inner and outer signs of our capacity to manifest things according to our self-vibration. I was wondering, are there any signs that listeners can look for, either inner or outer signs, that each is even in a healthy degree of self-vibration?
Indeed. Now, the inner signs are as reflections of light. They are easy to recognize for some individuals, but more difficult for others. However, they are always present. And why? Well, as we have said, human is much more than human, because the human is aligned with the soul. The soul is divine in origin, and in that origin, then, the soul communicates directly with the human self and all of the parts of that human life stream. And so the inner guidance comes from a deep connection with soul. Soul is life. Soul is truth. And so even if I were to ask you a question and your answer were to be, I do not know, at some level, some place within you, you do know. At some level, there is a yes or a no or an understanding of all things. And so there are signs within. And so there is a quiet place within one that simply knows. There is a place within you that knows and knows that it knows without exception. And that inner place will always give one signs. Now, for those that are not in deeper touch, deeper communication with the soul or the deeper self, there can be a reflection of the inner sign without, because all things have a reflection. In other words, light has its shadow, and a tree has its root, and so all things that are have both a visible and an invisible perspective. And so the inner sign can be shown as an outer sign, but one must also train oneself to recognize this. And this requires at least trust in the intuition, a trust in the self, so that when one says, show me a sign, and then receives what one believes is a sign, then there comes the necessity to trust that, to believe in that sign, and not say, oh, that was just an accident. That could not have been right. No, it must be something else. No, I think I'll just keep thinking about it for a while until I can think of a solution. So it comes then from recognizing not only the signs, but even if one sees a sign, there must be trust in the self, trust in the sign, and the courage to take the next step, the courage. Because many times the signs will indicate a different way, a different approach of how to do something or a different direction to take. And it requires courage then to take that next step, even if it were to be in a complete different direction.
Mm-hmm. That's very inspiring as well. So is there anything else you would like to tell the listeners to close the interview with you?
Yeah.
Like a final message or something you feel about that maybe a listener would need to hear from you.
Indeed. I will say that all moments are worthwhile, even those that seem the most difficult or the most challenging, because that difficult moment is the one that breathes life into the next one that may be more beautiful, more perfect, or more expansive. All moments upon the earth are worthwhile. We'll say, do not judge by what one sees with the eyes. Whenever possible, close the eyes and see. What is there to see with the eyes closed? And then, take a breath, take a pause, and take a courageous next step. To do so for oneself is to do so for all of humanity. To make a new choice or to make a new life, to discard an old belief, or to encourage a new creative idea, is to do so for oneself and for every future generation, for every generation past, for this year and next year, and for the next age as well. So be it, sweet one. These are the words that I offer you.
That's beautiful, Gala. It's really, really beautiful. I want to all the Inner Healers communities we have, and also on behalf of all the listeners that are either listening to live or will be listening to you on demand on the following day. You have given us very much with this interview, so I wanted to thank you from the bottom of the heart of all the people that are listening or will be listening to this day.
Hi, Luciana. I'm back.
Hi, Pepper. It was wonderful. All of it is wonderful. You know, the interview that you've given us, the interview that Gaia has given us, and it's really, really special, you know, for all of us.
I'm very happy as well. It's a wonderful subject, and I think an important one for this time. I'm not sure which one of your listeners suggested it or if it was one of your ideas, but it is important and vital at this time when it almost feels like we are recreating the earth or ourselves from the inside out, and we need to see everything that we do as vital and important.
Yes, I think it's very important as well, because there were many people asking for this topic, you know, all at once. So I said, well, maybe this is something we should be talking about, you know, because if people are asking for it, then maybe it's a collective thing that we can help out through this show. So I'm very grateful that you and Gaia stepped in to help with your life. And I was wondering if there's anything you would like to share as a last word with our listeners.
Well, I would like to invite all of the listeners to receive Gaia's messages more often, more frequently, if they feel motivated and interested to do so. I'd like to invite the listeners to visit my website, which is pepperlewis.com. I'd also like to invite you to join my Facebook page, because I'm posting many more audios and videos on there. In fact, I would like to say that, you know, just last week or within the last several days, we've had these events around the earth where the experience of many of the dead birds and dead fish coming about, and I received so many letters and so many requests for information about what really happened with that I recorded an audio message about that, and that is available on my Facebook page, on Pepper Lewis Facebook, and it's also on YouTube. So you can find me, there's a Gaia channel. If you go to YouTube and look for Gaia channel, you'll find that message is about 10 minutes long or so about what's happening with the birds, and that there's going to be other events like that as well. And I'm going to be recording other audios and videos as events like this happen. And one other way to receive as much of Gaia as possible is to go to iTunes, and there are free podcasts that are there. There's about 10 of them that are there right now that can be easily downloaded. I think you just need to just subscribe to that podcast, and it will go right to your computer. And anything that I can do to help people stay in touch with me or with Gaia, I would love that.
Mm-hmm. I'm checking the YouTube account right now. You were saying that the name is Gaia. There's a Gaia Online, Gaia's channel. Is that your channel?
Oh, I'm not in front of it right now, but I think you do a small search for Gaia Channel or Pepper Lewis or Gaia Channel, and you'll find it. I know many people have seen it. And there's several other videos that are there as well. And you can also access all of that by if you don't see it directly on YouTube, you can access it through the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I will post this also on our page.
Yeah, if you find the link and you post it there, that would be great.
Yes, also there's a link that I've been promoting, which is called thepeacefulplanet.com. Is that still working?
Yes, it's the same thing. You know, pepperlewis.com and thepeacefulplanet is the same thing. Pepper Lewis is the main website, and the Peaceful Planet is part of that as well. We changed the name slightly because as I become more well-known around the world, it's difficult to pronounce the Peaceful Planet in some countries. So to make it very easy,
right,
we put everything under Pepper Lewis.
That's a smart move. Okay, so also for listeners that are here with us today, I've also placed Pepper's book on our Blog Talk Radio link. So if you'd like to purchase the book, you just have to click on the book, on the image of the book, that you'll be there, and you'll be directed to a link where you can actually purchase it.
So, yes, and, you know, I know that a lot of your listeners are a lot of your listeners I know are in South America and in other countries as well, and there's a hesitancy at times to have products shipped. So we have some items that are available as downloads now too, particularly a whole CD series on all about 2011. It's got a lot of predictions and interesting things for this year, and that one can be purchased just as an easy download. Right from the homepage, you'll see it. If you go on pepperlewis.com, you'll see it right there on the homepage.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. That's good news as well. So, listeners, if you would like to learn how to know more about Pepper or Gaia, the links are on either on the Facebook event. You can find them also on the Inner Healers webpage. And you can also find her on the Blog Talk Radio link that has been included during the show. You also have information in the chat board that we opened when we started the show. So if there's anything we can help you with, just let us know. Thank you, Pepper, again. Thank you, Gaia. Wonderful experience for all of us. And I'm very, very grateful that you accepted to be with us today. So thank you. On my behalf, and thank you on all the Inner Healers community behalf as well.
You are very welcome, and I have enjoyed it immensely. And goodbye for now. Until next time.
I'm so happy for that. Goodbye. Have a great week. Be on your way.